Welcome to it then, this week's spot brought to you by The Racing Post in association with AK Bets. Steve Palmer joins us. The Olympics has been and gone for the men. Steve, how did you find it?
Oh, it was a poor week, Dave. Yeah, what goes up must come down, I suppose. On a high after the Open, feeling positive last week. But yeah, a miserable Olympics for me personally. Yeah, great for the neutral. We'll come on to what a great tournament that was for the neutral. But for Tom Kim backers, that double bogey at the final hole was a crippling blow, because I personally was on for a top seven finish each way, and he finished eighth. He dropped from fifth to eighth with that double bogey at the final hole, drove into the water. But yeah, much to discuss. A great tournament. Let's stay positive on that front.
And part of the Olympics, been watching much of that, Steve?
Oh, blimey, have I ever. Yeah, I love the Olympics. I mean, yeah, my marriage is on the rocks, Dave, because I fell in love with Keely Hodgkinson last night. I mean, what a woman. Yeah, I've got a bit of work to do in my marriage, because there's another woman in my life now. But yeah, I think she's, we talk about sports personality of the year. I mean, how can she possibly fail on that front? Yeah, I thought it was an inspirational performance. Yeah, but yeah, we don't often do well in the long distance running, do we? Particularly the ladies.
What about just sports in general? Is there anything you've seen? I mean, I put it on this morning and there was surfing on, and I was just like, I weren't sold on it. But there was about 20 judges, and I just weren't. And I was thinking, let's get the darts and the snooker in there. If this is part of it, it's not even in Paris. I think it was in Tahiti. You know, let's get the darts and the snooker in there.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree on the darts. I think it's an outrage that darts is not in there. I mean, my daughter told me yesterday that breakdancing is in the Olympics. Breakdancing. Is she winding me up, or is that true?
I couldn't tell you.
Breakdancing is in the Olympics. If breakdancing is in the Olympics and my daughter's not winding me up, and darts isn't in the Olympics, then somebody needs to hang their head in shame.
Yeah, I agree. And the surfing's not for me. Tahiti, I think it was, the surfing, Tahiti.
Just down the road from Paris, then.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. Right, of course, we are brought to you in association with AK Bets. Steve will be here every week giving you a good steer on your golf punting. And we have a welcome offer for you as well with AK Bets. If you haven't got an account just yet, now is a good time with the code SWEETSPOT25. Place your first bet on any golf market with AK Bets, and you will get 50% of your stake back as a free bet up to £25. Qualifying bet, minimum odds 10 to 11. Terms and conditions apply. Right, we will get stuck into the Olympics then. Gold medal for the chef who cooked up a treat. Final round 62. Silver medal for Tommy Fleetwood. Matsuyama, the bronze. And I'm going to mention Perez, who finished fourth as well. You gave him a shout out a couple of weeks ago, Steve. He's on the radar. He's playing well. But we'll start with the chef. Brilliant. Absolutely sublime.
Well, just what a golf tournament. You know, as I say, if I was a neutral, I would have really enjoyed this. It was just pure entertainment. I mean, Xander Schauffele looked like he was taking control of the tournament in the final round, a couple of early birdies. Then John Rahm went clear, didn't he? Four shots clear with eight holes to play. John Rahm had one hand on the gold medal, didn't even medal. You know, an incredible implosion. We'll discuss John Rahm in depth later. Rory McIlroy made five birdies in a row, Dave. And then double bogeyed the 15th hole. You know, a classic McIlroy tease. Tommy Fleetwood had a chance of winning the gold medal. So many players had a chance to win this gold medal. Tommy Fleetwood needed a par finish to force a playoff with Scotty Scheffler. But all these players failed. Fleetwood bogeyed the 17th hole. One man stayed calm amid all the mayhem. The world number one, Scotty Scheffler, and as he's done so often this year, what a campaign. You know, the icing on the cake of an amazing campaign. Birdie, birdie, birdie start, Dave. Quiet in the middle of the round. And then the back nine of 29 is incredible. Bear in mind, there's only one par five on that back nine. It was just a masterclass on that back nine. That closing stretch is so difficult. And obviously, I hate myself, Dave, because, you know, that low-key preparation that Scheffler had, I thought it was a negative. You know, he's hanging around with John Terry, Dave. He's hanging around with John Terry 2 hours from the course. He's hanging around with Meredith for art galleries. He's rocking Baby Bennett. So relaxed. Yeah, there was a time where the Olympics organisers made them hold up signs before the tournament. I don't know if you saw that, with questions on. And one of the questions was, what's your goal for the week? And every other player put gold medal or just gold. And he put, have fun. And you saw all the other players, too intense, imploded. Mr. Have Fun took the gold medal, all relaxed. So, yeah, I misjudged the preparation. Low-key preparation obviously was the way to do it.
Well, I'm surprised we didn't see JT up on the podium with him, because he's quite partial to he could have turned up and all his clobber and sort of joined it, couldn't he? Taking a bit of credit for it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, he could have had all his, he could have put a Team USA outfit on and gone up there. But yeah, I'm sure JT's taking some credit for it. He's a Wentworth member, isn't he? So I bumped into him a couple of times at Wentworth. I haven't spoken to him. I was with Wayne Mardo, and he said hello to Wayne Mardo. And then I sat down with Wayne Mardo. Wayne Mardo goes, John Terry just said hello to me. He was really, really pleased with that. But I might speak to John Terry and say, yo, did you have a role in helping Scheffler win the gold medal? Because
the secret? Let's talk about Fleetwood and Matsuyama then, silver and bronze for those guys. What could have been for Fleetwood? I mean, he traded a short price in running as well.
Yeah, I mean, Fleetwood would be disappointed with that chip at 17. You know, it was a poor chip at 17. That bogey took him out of that share of the lead. But I saw interviews with Fleetwood afterwards, and he's euphoric. He's really, really taken the positives. Must have an excellent sports psychologist, because he's just delighted with his silver medal. Don't worry about there being any hangover from this going forward. Because I was like you. I thought, oh, that was such a good chance to win a gold medal. And he's going to be disappointed. But he couldn't wipe the smile off his face afterwards.
Should there be hangover, though? You know, when I'm having a bet, I want to back winners. Players that are getting into the habit of winning, like a Scottie Scheffler. Not someone who...
Yeah.
Well, look at our happy day second. Well, you didn't win, mate. What's the story?
Well, it's a very curious tournament in that respect, isn't it? You know, getting a medal of any kind is obviously an achievement. It's a really weird tournament. If you finish second in any other tournament, you'd be gutted. But as I say, Fleetwood's buzzing with his medal. Yeah, he's happier than John Rahm, isn't he? He's happier than
everyone is.
He's happier than McIlroy. I mean, they didn't end up with any medal. So, Fleetwood going forward seems in good spirits. Who was the other one you mentioned? Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, third, bronze, yeah.
And, the BBC commentator was calling him Matsuyama Hideki all week. He obviously thought he was so clever. There must be some reason why the Japanese style of pronouncing him is Matsuyama Hideki. But he was really winding me up. I mean, the whole tournament was winding me up because of the Tom Kim debacle. I mean, the Colin Morikawa debacle. Do you want to talk about him?
Well, he was the main sit, wasn't he? What happened to your man?
Well, his round scores were 70, 68, 70, 70. You know, he didn't do a lot wrong, but he didn't do a lot right. The course played easier than I thought it would, Dave. I'm really angry at myself all round last week. 19 under par was the winning total. I didn't expect it to play that easy, which didn't help Morikawa. It was a shame. It was the Tom Kim double bogey was the moment where there was no salvaging the situation. We'll do better this week, I assure you.
But you keep your pecker up, right? Because peaks and troughs. I mean, we just come off the back of a nice juicy 500 plus double. You know, you can't find the winner every week, Steve. It's impossible.
It's impossible, and I'd like to give myself an excuse that I felt really ill last week. You know, I thought I had the Adam Peaty flirt strain of COVID-19. I don't like to make excuses, Dave, but I'm going to. I think I was ill last week, but I feel really good. I feel really good. I feel healthy today, and we're going to have healthier wages.
Any other takeaways then? I mentioned Perez, and I checked that I think he's 70th in the FedEx as well, so he's just made it in, and I think he's a player to keep an eye on.
Well, he's got a big week this week. We'll come on to the Wyndham Championship later. You're right. Victor Perez trying to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs and handled it so much better than Mathieu Pavon last week. Yeah, there was loads of attention on the French. I mean, it was a great tournament. You had 30,000 spectators in every day. You know, most of them were French. And Victor Perez and Mathieu Pavon greeted onto the tee like, you know, heroes. And, it went two different ways. Victor Perez handled it. Mathieu Pavon finished last, I believe. I think Matt Fitzpatrick withdrew with a thumb injury. He injured his thumb early in the week, so he withdrew. But of the players that finished the 72 holes, Mathieu Pavon finished last, didn't like all the commotion following him, but whereas Victor Perez thrived in it. We do have to factor this atmosphere into our calculations this week when we come on to this week's events, because obviously, again, we have French humans competing in the Olympics. We'll come on to them.
Let's get on to it then. So. Yes. New week, same venue, different gender. Yeah. It's the Women's Olympics Golf here. Just give us a reminder of the track then, Steve. I know we covered it last week. I'm sure you're going to say exactly the same thing again, but that's fine. Crack on, yeah. Tell us about the course.
Well, it is the Albatross course at Le Golf National France, but they changed the yardage, of course, for the ladies. So we've got 6,374 yards from the ladies' tees, and they've changed the par as well. The par's gone up from 71 to 72. The par four 18th hole last week has now become a par five. You know, the 18th, a really difficult closing hole, as Tom Kim found to his despair last week. That's a par five now for the ladies. Four par fives in total now this week. 60 women going to post, 72 holes of stroke play, no cut, 8 a.m. start on Wednesday. This is the key point, Dave. We must stress that punters get their bets on early. We're starting Wednesday. I mean, I think it's because the closing ceremony is Sunday, I believe, isn't it? So you can't have your classic Thursday, Sunday event, because I believe the closing ceremony is on Sunday.
It went to a playoff. Just hold on. They're on the 19th. Just hold fire. So, yeah, I think you're right.
This is it. So, yeah, get your bets on early and get Discovery Plus. Do you remember we were flapping last week, Dave, about where we're going to watch it?
I can't watch on the BBC. I just can't even try. No.
Well, absolutely appalling level of coverage, I thought, last week, particularly with Tommy Fleetwood and, you know, going for gold for Great Britain. I thought the coverage was abysmal. I mean, I was a Discovery Plus man. The commentators, to their credit, we've got such a great sweet spot community, haven't they? Yeah, we try and help them.
Yes, they give us a steer. Yeah,
they try and help us. And, you know, we were flapping about where to watch it. This Discovery Plus was not on my radar until I was alerted by the commentators. And then I got it easy. I got it for free as a Sky subscriber. And that was brilliant coverage, wall-to-wall coverage. You need that. You need Discovery Plus if you want to watch this ladies' Olympics event. And we got basically the same weather we had last week. Same course, same weather. Sunny, pleasant, calm conditions, temperatures peaking at 28°C.
Lovely. Right, let's get a show then with AK Bets, who once again, I think a top price every player at the head of the market, barring Lynn Grant. So again, maybe it's one they're looking to duck, I don't know. The market then, Nelly called a 5-1 favourite, Lilia Vu 10s, Athea Titikal 12s, Jin Young Ko 14s, Lynn Grant 14s, and Rose Zhang 14s. 16-1 bar. Apologies if I've butchered any of the names there. More importantly, though, Steve, how many are you putting up for this tournament?
We've got three. We've got three in this and we've got three in the Wyndham, six tips in total.
OK, and main selection for the Women's Olympics golf is?
Rose Zhang, 14-1 with AK Bets, a rising star of the sport, a 21-year-old who seems destined to become world number one at some stage in her career. She's definitely got the potential to become a dominant force for me. She enjoyed a Tiger Woods-like level of success as an amateur at Stanford University, the same college that Tiger went to. I think she could turn into the Tiger of the women's game. Like Tiger, Californian-born, made her LPGA Tour breakthrough in her very first event as a professional. That was in June last year, an amazing achievement. And then she won her second LPGA Tour title in May this year. So further success inevitable. She's been speaking for ages. I've looked at all the quotes. Ages ago, she was focused on the Olympics. She was desperate to qualify for the Olympics. She's been a big Olympics fan growing up. She got over to Paris really early. She's been there for ages, settling in, getting to know the course. And she's got a significant advantage over every other player in this field in that she has competed at Le Golf National before. With the men's competition, obviously, that was a bigger factor because loads of French Opens, but there's never been a ladies professional event at this course, but there has been amateur action. The 2022 Espirito Santo Trophy, a team event featuring the best lady amateurs in the game. Zhang tied for first in the individual competition of that. Team USA finished second, but she was equal as the best individual scorer in that event. So, you know, she's got course form in the book. She's the only one that does this week. And I think that's going to result in the gold medal. Last time out, lovely warm up, sixth in the CPKC Open in Canada. She was the top ranked amateur in the world. People think I've got an obsession with world number one amateurs. And, you know, I'm going to continue it here. She was the top ranked amateur in the ladies game. for three consecutive years. So I think it's inevitable that she's going to become a superstar.
Okay, right, that's the main selection then at 14-1 with AK Betts. And you're not going for the player looking for a bit of fun this week then, Steve. No, you're going for someone again who's got put in the due diligence and is focused.
Yeah. I haven't seen the signs. When the signs go up and someone's written have fun, I'll probably be ploughing in. But she's up for it. I'm up for it. Let's have it.
Good stuff. Right. Okay. Who's the next best then?
Lilia Vu. This is the great. We went through the names there. This has got to be one of the best names in golf. Lilia Vu, the voodoo doll. 10-1 is available, AK Betts, which is a great price. If you get double figures about the voodoo doll, get stuck in. I think we're going to get an American 1-2. Scotty Scheffler won gold for America last week. I think America are taking gold this week. I think it's either Zhang or Vu. Vu won a maiden LPGA Tour title in Thailand in February last year. So she announced herself at the start of last year, and then she won two majors, like boom, 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 quickly won the Chevron Championship and the Women's Open, and she became world number one. Amazing start to her career. This year, a back injury has slowed progress a little bit. She spent April and May on the sidelines recovering from a back injury, but she returned fit and firing. She won the Maya LPGA Classic in June. That was her first tournament back. Then she tied second in the women's USPGA. Last time out in that CPKC Open I mentioned, a share of 12th place. Further evidence that Vu is in fine fettle. So, yeah, this is a gutsy 26-year-old who's fresher than anyone else in the field. You know, Zhang's got that advantage of being the one with competitive course experience. Vu's big advantage over everyone else in the field is that she's the freshest player there because she had 2 months off. These are my two main bets, and I was gonna just stick with these two, but there's just one player I can't quite resist.
Go on then, talk to me, Steve. I hope this is a nice big juicy price. What have you got?
I'm gonna disappoint you. It's a very, very tight staking plan this week. None of the fancy prices have attracted me. I've got three rock solid each way investments, and it's the one you mentioned. Maybe we can harass AK Betts into offering a little bit better if this is the one that he's weak on. It's an old sweet spot favorite. You must have guessed by now. Lynn Grant, 14-1 with AK Betts. Surely the most likely European to challenge for a medal. She won the Scandinavian Mixed on the DP World Tour in June. That's the second time she's beaten up a field which comprises half males. This is a 25-year-old, improving all the time. Such a balanced all-round game. And her warm-up event was impressive as well. The Dana Open last time out, finished third. So, I got gold for USA, silver for USA, bronze for Sweden.
Yeah, rarity there. The AK Betts not top price, one of those at the head of the market. So maybe we'll try and apply some pressure and get that price boosted. Yeah. Mentions about some of the others then. We've got to talk about the jolly here, Steve. Just 5-1, Nelly Calder. Why not Nelly Calder?
Yeah, I know I've got a tight staking plan, but we're taking on the favourite. I think 5-1 Nelly Calder is easy to resist. Poor value. She won the gold in the 2020 Olympics, but she's not in great form going into this one. From the end of May onwards, her form has really dipped. She carded an opening round of 80 in the US Women's Open. That started a run of three consecutive missed cuts on the LPGA Tour. Then she suffered that dog bite. Do you remember we were talking about the dog bite? We were speculating where the bite was. Nobody knew. We were all waiting for the media conference at the Evian. It was revealed that the dog bite was on her thigh. And, she was struggling to walk after the dog bite on her thigh. She tied for 26th place in the Evian. So, yeah, I think only Calder's biggest fans play at 5-1. I love my team of three rather than that. And then Ataya Titikal. I think that was the one you butchered in the
probably. It won't be the last either, so I can only apologise. But what are your thoughts on her?
Well, Titikal was second favourite in the opening shows this week, and Vu fans, of which I am one, have got Vu ahead of her now, I think. But Ataya Titikal, I've just had so many bad experiences with her. So many bad experiences with Ataya. You get certain players that are in your bad books, don't you, Dave, when you've backed them and it's gone wrong. I remember Titikal breaking my heart on a couple of occasions with late card busters. Yeah, so I've just got some trust issues with the tyre.
Pablo Larrazabal is a player I've probably got the worst experience ever with. I've got quite involved in a two-ball bet. And I think he took an 8 on an 18. I can't remember the tournament. And that was, I was done. Like, that was literally just, you know, when you, like, you're counting it as well. Because I think he had a 3-shot cushion going.
Is it at Leopard Creek? It rings a bell, actually.
I can't remember what it was, Steve. Right?
No.
Name and the number, the snowman scarred me. So, yeah, there are players. And I could just never, you just can't. How can you pull the trigger with him ever again? You just, it's unforgivable.
It is. I remember sitting in a car park outside Alton Towers, I think it was. A tyre, I checked flash scores, and a tyre had just put an ugly 6 on, or a double bogey 6 that cost me a pretty penny. There's just certain players you just can't trust, isn't there?
Indeed. Okay, so that is the Women's Olympics. Just anyone looking to tackle this, Steve, what kind of attributes should they be looking for in their player? You've made a case for your three. You know, if you just maybe come into this is the Colts. We saw it last week, different yardage. What kind of player should they be looking for?
Well, we were on the right lines last week. I mean, accurate iron play is the key to success at Le Golf National. And I thought I'd back 4 brilliant iron players. I had back 4 brilliant iron players, but none of them managed to place. So again, accurate iron play. And Rose Zhang is one of the best iron players on the LPGA Tour. So and Lilia Vu, very tidy player as well. So accurate iron play, and those two fit the bill with bells on. One day we'll have the Lilia Vu Brandon Wu double, won't we? The Vu Wu double. That will happen one day, and we'll bloody love it.
Shall we move on then? Right, of course, you are watching us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do remember to like, comment and subscribe. Put your comments in below. Steve's already revealed that he's always watching. So let us know your thoughts. How you've been getting on if you're following Steve's tips. Starting next week, it's a very busy time for sport. We've got the Olympics reaching a climax this week, and then the football season starting. Every Thursday, you'll be able to get the thoughts and the musings of the very, very knowledgeable Mark Langdon in the assist every Thursday, your football preview show right here on the Racing Post. And of course, this bad boy is out there. If you missed it yesterday, the big kickoff preview, you'll be able to get that, and it is worth it. 80 pages worth in the Racing Post shop, available to buy PDF. Steve, you can sell it. You're part of the sports desk. I know you didn't contribute to it, but you know the lads that have done. Blood, sweat and tears, right?
Yeah, and I see the front page there about breaking the monopoly. I believe Manchester City are not expected to win the Premier League this season by our experts. So, it's a big call. I don't think they tipped West Ham, Dave, but they've tipped another London side, I believe. But I won't give it away.
Well, I will give away that someone in there likes West Ham on the handicap. So, do you get involved, Steve, in anti-post football?
No, don't like waiting that long for a return, to be honest. I like,
4 days is the absolute max.
4 days is the max, yeah. No, if there's a team I like, I'll just back them each week. You know, that's my tactic, but that's probably a foolish tactic. Yeah, anti-post betting is you get some great bets there. And I know Arsenal, very, very popular with a lot of people this year, but don't know if I can bring myself to back them.
Okay, you can get that in the Racing Post shop, available to buy the PDF, and well worth a read. Get armed, get clued up ahead of the football season. Right, let's move on then to the PGA Tour, the Wyndham Championship. And how long has this one been on the tour for, Steve?
Oh, since the old King died, Dave. No, it's been at this venue since 2008. Sedgefield Country Club. You'd like me to talk about that?
I've not checked out the clubhouse. What's the clubhouse like? Do you know? I love a good clubhouse.
Yes, it's a classic old course. This has been around since the 20s, I believe, the 1920s. Obviously had some revisions since then. It's an old Donald Ross creation, 7,131 yards. We're in North Carolina. It's a par 70, only 2 par 5s. As I say, it's hosted the winner since 2008. Classic tree line test. It rewards accuracy over power, emphatically. Small greens, runoff areas around them. But if you keep it straight, you make plenty of birdies. Winning scores of 20 under par or better in 7 of the last 8 years. But you may have to wait until the weekend, Dave, before you see a really low round this year. We've got some wet and windy weather for the first round. Quite stormy on Friday as well. before a sunnier, calmer weekend. 1-5-6 going to post.
Lovely. And previous winners in the field?
Yes. There's plenty there, and all of them accurate drivers. You know, you've got to find the fairways here. It's a classic fairways and greens assignment.
Okay, right. Well, before we get to the show, I did notice today AK bets a couple of market movers. So if you want to, you know, perhaps follow the money, if you like, Brian Harman and Davis Thompson were two that have been backed today with AK bets. Well, I now give you the show, and as ever, taking on those at the head of the market. They are 15-1 top price. Sungjae Im as the jolly. West Ham's Billy Hawkshaw at a pony 25-1 alongside Shane Lowry, Siwoo Kim, Brian Harman's 28s, Cameron Young 33s, Davis Thompson I mentioned 33s, and Aaron Rye at 35-1. Before we get your selection, Steve, what do you make of the field in general? Not the deepest, not the strongest.
No, it's pretty weak. I mean, it's players trying to penetrate that top 70 of the FedEx Cup standings or retain their place in that. There's one or two bigger names that are actually jostling to try and get in a better position to win the cup. You know, there's a couple of players that are in the top 10 of the FedEx Cup standings. And obviously, the better your position going into the Tour Championship finale, the better your position on the starting grid, the Formula One style starting grid that they have for the Tour Championship, where, you know, there's a handicap system in place. But we'll cross those bridges when we come to them.
Well, I was going to say, at this point in time, is that something that you're factoring in or you're thinking about when you're tackling these tournaments?
Just some of the entrants are, I think. You know, your Shane Lowry's, your Sungjae Im's. We'll talk about them later because they're first and second in the betting. They're only here to try and improve their position for the Tour Championship.
Right, how many in the team for this one?
Three.
Three, and main selection is?
You're going to be delighted with this one. It's Billy Horschel. Billy Horschel, 25-1, the happy hammer. Really impressed me in the Open Championship, Dave. I couldn't believe how well he played on the Saturday. Brutal conditions at Royal Troon, as you saw. He refused to buckle. We got some challenging weather, as I say, over the first 2 days of this tournament. Horschel, probably the best equipped in the field to handle it. Second place in the Open Championship is a huge achievement for him. His Open record prior to Troon was terrible. It was terrible. He left Scotland so happy with second place. That's his best major result. You know, he's confident as ever at the age of 37. You know, really solid all-round game. You know, we talk about Xander Schauffele being weakness-free. You know, Billy's not got many weaknesses now. He was eighth in the USPGA in May. He's had a great majors campaign in total. Seven-time PGA Tour champion. He won the Corrales Punta Cana in April, final round 63. And he's won some massive golf tournaments. I know you follow him because he's a happy hammer. The Tour Championship, you were probably on for that. The WGC match play, the Memorial. Yeah, this is a weak event, really weak event. And he's won some biggies. Hasn't played since the Open, Dave. He got ill. He was going to play in the 3M Open. He got ill just before the 3M Open. Had some little back spasms as well. But that's a blessing in disguise for me. A chance to fully recover from that Open, a chance to recharge the batteries. I think he's going to come out of the traps in the Wyndham with alacrity, to use one of your favourite greyhound expressions. And his Sedgefield record, just to complete your, you know, you're going to bet irresponsibly on this one, I can tell. His Sedgefield record is excellent. Fifth in the 2016 Wyndham, 11th in 2018, sixth in 2019, runner-up in 2020, fourth last year. Get stuck in. Oh my word.
Come on the hammers.
He was wearing a cap the other day with that on because West Ham played in his neck of the woods. They had a
pre-season tour in the US, yeah.
Yeah, they lost to Crystal Palace and he went to the Crystal Palace game in this lovely hat. Is it 3-1 Palace?
It was, but I'm just going to... There was a game behind closed doors in which we turned them over as well. So don't read too much into that, okay?
Oh, that's a strange way to do it, isn't it?
Not a problem. I'm all for more players should just endorse a team, whether it be a US sporting team, a Premier League side, whatever. Imagine if we just had like Scotty Scheffler on the tee with like a Luton Town bag or something. You know, it'd be unbelievable, wouldn't it? The following, the eyeballs, that maybe that's what golf meets, some sort
he's
of crossover.
Avid, though, isn't he? He's an avid fan, isn't he, Billy? I mean, he
loves it.
He was tweeting like Mark Noble's son scored for West Ham under-14s, I think it was, the other day. And he was tweeting that, like he's following the progress of Mark Noble's son.
His bag. I'd love to get his... I want to try and get a version of his bag. It's an absolute beauty, the bag.
It is. Have a bet this week, though. Have a bet this week, and then if you win, buy the bag. That's got to be your target, isn't it? Have a target.
The back spasms, not a concern for you.
He just had fever before the 3M Open. So he went to the 3M Open, was feeling rough, probably from Scotland. You know, it was a pretty exhausting trip to the Open, wasn't it, in all that bad weather. And he just had a little bit of fever. He just said he ached a bit. His back ached and he couldn't play golf because he was aching a bit. But that's a long time ago. That was a week after the Open. He's fit as a fiddle. He don't you worry about Billy.
I just wanted to make sure before I pull the trigger responsibly, I will be, and I'll encourage everyone to bet responsibly.
Yes, of course. Yes. I was being facetious. I would have a responsible gamble on Billy because, I think he's the most likely winner. We'll come to the favourite later.
Okay, right. He is the main selection. Who is the next best?
Siwoo Kim, my lord. 25-1 with AK Betts. Another standing dish at the Wyndham Championship. Billy Boy's got an amazing record at the Wyndham. Siwoo Kim's got an even better one. He won the Wyndham in 2016, his maiden PGA Tour title, carded a second round 60, won by 5 shots. He's been threatening a second Sedgefield success ever since. 5th in 2019, 3rd in 2020. That one really sticks in my memory because I had him as the second leg of a face-spitting double with Sam Horsfield. And Siwoo was leading it in the final round and then shot 70, broke my heart. But another great Wyndham effort. Playoff loser in 2021. A 5th PGA Tour title for Siwoo comes as no surprise on Sunday. If it happens here, he's got such affection for the venue. He won the Sony Open at the start of last year. You might remember that one. Has played consistently well since then. Just a solid operator. 6th in the Players' Championship in March. He's been performing well in much better tournaments than this one. Last time out, we saw him at the Open Championship. He got the longest hole-in-one in Open Championship history. 238-yard hole-in-one. So he was full of beans there. He looks a surefire Wyndham title contender for me.
Top price, 25-1 with AK Betts. Shorter elsewhere. But we're looking to win this golf tournament, Steve, and he's 25-1.
Very much so. Billy and Siwoo is your main bets. And then we got one more at a bigger price. Our biggest price tip of the week.
OK, Steve, give us the third and final selection then for the Wyndham Championship.
It's Taylor Moore, 70-1 with AK Betts. Taylor Moore has got hardly any experience of links golf. He missed the cut in the Scottish Open. He missed the cut in the Open. So easy to forgive those failures. Prior to the Scottish Open, he finished 10th in the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Straight after the Open, he finished 12th in the 3M Open. So, you know, you put him on stateside tracks and he's fine. And earlier this year, he was 2nd in the Houston Open, 20th in the Masters, 12th in the USPGA. So even in major company, Dave, he's been performing. He's quietly impressive. I'm excited by Taylor Moore at a big price. One on the Canadian Tour in 2016, one on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2021, and then made his PGA Tour breakthrough last year in the Valspar. You might remember it. Courageous breakthrough victory. The smirk suggests otherwise, but he just edged home in the Valspar on a really difficult golf course. I like the cut of Taylor Moore's jib. Big runner at a big price, and he's got Wyndham form in the book. All three of my selections have played well here in the past. He was 5th on his Wyndham debut in 2022, 22nd last year.
What are you thinking winning score is, Dave?
Oh, wow. 20-something. So there's so much noise outside the summer holidays. When you're a professional who works from home in the summer holidays, it's so challenging. There'll be lots of viewers out there going through similar issues with the children running amok while you're trying to broadcast things.
Oh, if you only knew what was going on the other side of this wall in front of me.
Hey, Have you got anyone else, any adults in there helping, or is it just
yes,
you?
Thankfully. Another responsible adult in there at the moment with 3 children.
I have no responsible adults helping me out here. I just have to lock myself in this office and hope for the best. I do worry that something really bad will happen to me while I'm locked in here. Do you know what I mean? But that is quite a dark thoughts.
Any other players? Was there anyone else on the radar
It'll be 20 something, but when I say it'll be 20 something, so let me just correct myself. With that wet and windy first day, maybe it won't be 20 something. Maybe
everyone just shoots a million under, it's boring.
I think the weekend would be a million under, so because it'd be soft as anything as well. So yeah, I think you get to someone to get to 20 under par. They're going to call it exactly 20 under par as a winning score. Sorry, what was the next question, Dave?
No, was there anyone else on the radar?
Anyone else on the radar? Let's have a look. Yeah, it's quite a wide open event to be fair, isn't it? But no, crosses, very, very firm, dark crosses on most of them. I'm going to say no. There's not a lot
of winners in the field, is there? Like, you know, people that are going to get there and just run over the line.
No, there isn't anyone else that remotely interests me. I mean, Sung Jae Im at 15-1, did you say? I mean, even, yeah, I can't even have a bet of 15-1. It's such a horrible, ugly looking.
It feels dirty, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Can't you just change that, AK? 15-1, just 16. Such an eyesore, isn't it? I'd rather him go 14s than 15s. It just annoys me. I've been hurt too many times by Sung Jae at short prices. I've backed Sung Jae Im at short prices in weak events where he looks like he could potentially outclass the field. And for some reason, he doesn't produce in weak company. I prefer backing Sung Jae when he's in world-class company. Shane Lowry is 25-1, I believe.
Yeah, he's the one I was going to ask him that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's there's quite a few Olympians in this field, actually. But I think it's quite a draining week last week. You know, throwing themselves into the Olympic experience on the other side of the world and then jetting over to this. I just can see Lowry making a bit of a sluggish start. The course suits him down on the ground. But, yeah, I much prefer my two at exactly the same price.
Happy with that, then. Three against the field. Right, give us a roundup then, Steve, an overview of your selections, and I'm assuming that we're looking at sort of the main play is an each way double.
Yes, obviously the each way double fans are excited. I'm really excited, and that the double is Rose Zhang. It's pronounced Rose. I think previously when I've tipped her, I've gone with Rose, just showing a sort of alcoholic's passion for a drink, but it is Rose Zhang. And Billy Horschel. You put Rose Zhang and Billy Horschel together in a double, in each way double, and you'll have some fun with that. But yeah, the Olympics women's competition, Rose Zhang, Lilia Vu, and Lynn Grant. So juvenile. A couple more losing weeks and all this sort of stuff will be out of the system and we'll be miserable again.
Okay, reminds of the Wyndham as well, the team for the Wyndham.
Billy Horschel, Siwoo Kim, my lord, and Taylor Moore.
Okay, lovely. Nice one, Steve. Warren will be here next week with you. There's three tournaments to get stuck into. Warren Ashurst will be here. FedEx, St. Jude Championship, Czech Masters, and the Greenbrier Invitational. The Livers are back next week. Enjoy the golf. Hopefully, we'll be amongst the winners again. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And we'll see you next time.